Thank you very much. So on behalf of my co-author, I am pleased to present a paper titled, Does Stigmatizing Information Affect Medical Documentation? Implications for Continuity of Care. So as the presenter, I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose. And really, the rationale behind this study is an ethical dilemma. On one hand, comprehensive medical documentation is essential to ensure high-quality, coordinated care. Yet, if in terms of documenting stigmatizing or sensitive information, that may compete with the goal of also protecting patient confidentiality. So existing literature tells us that patients with potentially stigmatizing conditions are afraid that information will be used against them, don't want it shared with family members, and consider providers sharing that information between each other without prior consent from the patient to be a breach of confidentiality. Yet, without all relevant information in the medical record, that might challenge or interfere with providing high-quality coordinated care. This issue, this ethical dilemma, has been addressed in terms of mental health care providers. However, PCPs are actually at the center and the focal point of a patient's care. So they actually, this dilemma is very poignant for them because they hold a particularly important place in terms of ensuring coordination and continuity of care. One thing we know from the literature is that it already addresses what PCPs should be doing in order to protect patient confidentiality. However, we know very little about what PCPs are actually doing to manage stigmatizing information, which is the question that this study addresses. The data for this study come from a qualitative sub-study of a randomized factorial experiment, very similar in design to the one that Dr. McKinley just described. A lot of the details of the experiment itself are not relevant to the qualitative analysis presented here. However, just to give you an idea, this particular factorial experiment was designed to answer the question, how does the presence of stigmatizing comorbidities affect PCP management of diabetes? And one important point that is very relevant to the sub-study is that we were able to gather a balanced sample of PCPs in terms of gender and years of experience, which gives us a very robust sample for qualitative analysis. 64 men, 64 women, 64 PCPs with less experience, 64 with more experience. So for qualitative purposes, it's a very robust sample. The data for this sub-study come from semi-structured interviews that were conducted as part of the experiment. A lot of these think aloud interviews focused on what the physicians would do for the particular vignette patient that they saw. However, there was more general information in the semi-structured interview, which is the information that we draw on for this study. And the particular question was, for chart notes typical for your practice, what do you include? What do you exclude? A very important point is that respondents were not directly asked to address documentation of stigmatizing information. That makes all of the results that we're presenting here today respondent-driven information. The analysis followed very standard and accepted qualitative analytic techniques. As you can see, the coding was consensus-based. So two analysts independently coded a set of transcripts for initial coding and came together to come to consensus about the initial codebook. Additional sets of transcripts were independently coded by both analysts to refine the codebook and to conduct focused coding. After six sets of transcripts, the two analysts agreed on the codebook and they were applying it in the same way. So an individual analyst then coded the remainder of the transcripts, and the two analysts would come together on a regular basis to discuss the coding and to come to any consensus about issues that came up. Detailed analysis of the quotations yielded descriptive themes that emerged from the data, and these themes were compared by type of information, either mental health information or non-mental health information. So as you can see, in terms of types of stigmatizing information, without being asked, primary care physicians talked about several different types of mental health and non-mental health information that they considered stigmatizing, ranging from mental illness through abuse, sexuality, and legal issues, as you can see in the slide. To preview the themes, the analysis of the qualitative data yielded two main themes. First, primary care physicians experienced three challenges with documenting stigmatizing information. Second, they use a wide range of strategies, and these strategies vary by whether it's mental health information or non-mental health information. In terms of the challenges, again, without being asked, over a third of the sample spoke of challenges in documenting stigmatizing information. In particular, they identified three challenges. First, deciding whether to include clinically relevant but sensitive information. Second, explaining the inclusion of that information to patients. And third, how to word that information once they decide to include it in the chart. In terms of deciding whether to include information, a very typical representative quote from one primary care physician is, there's some things that aren't included, there's some things that have to be included, and there's some things that you kind of just use your judgment and try your best to document, but it's tough. So the criteria that physician talks about in terms of in their decision process was the information, was there any danger to the patient in excluding it? What was the importance of this information to other providers? And how important was it to the patient that it not be included? So those were the criteria that they considered when deciding whether or not to include information in the chart. In terms of explaining to patients that they were going to include information, as one physician said, but sometimes people will ask you to not put things in there that are relevant. And it's hard to explain to them that's important to their medical care and that people know. Another physician said, and oftentimes I will tell them, I need you to work with me so that I can take the best care of you possible. And that means that we really have to have everything out there and I can access it. And it's hard. The third challenge was how to word information once they decided to include it in the chart. Their concern was that if the patient saw the chart, they would appear judgmental, or that they might facilitate stigmatization by other healthcare providers. So in one physician's words, let's say you think they're drug-seeking. I think one needs to be careful when you put that down. But in the real world, when you have a limited amount of time, you may end up as putting just drug-seeking, and it might be counterproductive. It might be judgmental, and you know not the best way to do it. So when we think about the strategies that physicians raised in terms of managing this stigmatizing information, over half of the physicians in the sample described strategies. And those strategies ranged in the full continuum, from excluding information in order to protect confidentiality, to restricting access or somehow neutralizing information to reduce the likelihood of stigmatization, to just including everything that the patient said in order to, given the impact of not including it might have on patient care. The frequency of using these strategies differed by information type. So as you can see here, 31 PCPs addressed the strategies they used to document mental health information, and 63 physicians talked about the strategies they used to document non-mental health information. So the first strategy, exclude the information for confidentiality purposes. As you can see, this strategy was more common for non-mental health information, but even over a quarter of the physicians who addressed how they manage mental health information said that they exclude it from the chart. As a physician said, for most of us, it would be if they didn't want to disclose an abuse history, sex abuse, or if he battered his wife and he was under investigation, or his kids and their Department of Social Services, and that's why he didn't feel well. And he asked me not to include it in the chart, and I'm treating him for his diabetes, and I'm not reporting him like as his kid's pediatrician. Then I would respect his wishes. So that was the first strategy. The second strategy, to include the information but somehow restrict access to it or limit access just for themselves. This was the least common of the strategies, but some physicians used it to limit access just to themselves by using codes or sticky notes, and sometimes even in electronic medical records this strategy was available. As one physician said, like if somebody's smoking dope, and I'm afraid that they, by recording that in the chart, it's going to have some adverse effect on his career, and yet it's important for me to be aware of, then I have little codes that I use to myself that wouldn't necessarily be obvious to a casual reader. So that information is masked in some way. The third strategy was to include the information but neutralize it. And as you can see here, that was the case for about a quarter of the physicians who addressed both mental health and non-mental health information. as a physician said, I alluded to the patient telling me there's incest in the family. So you allude to the fact that her trust was violated by someone close to her. I included a veiled reference to this, and that can be explained if the patient chooses to explain it to the other doctor. So again, it's kind of a masking of information. The fourth strategy is to include the information for continuity. This was most common for mental health information. As one physician said, I think most of the times I do end up recording it when I encounter patients with these mental health types of issues. This is very important. For non-mental health information, a physician commented, I think anything can be part of the medical record. Even people who have told me, I don't want anyone to know. I always make a note of it, though, because otherwise I won't remember it. So what have we learned? In terms of the summary, PCPs experience challenges with documenting sensitive information. Their challenges they experience include deciding whether to include it, explaining how to include it to patients, and wording information that is included. And they use a wide range of strategies. As you can see here, it ranges from one end of the continuum to the other. They use it at different rates for different types of information. So one of the take-home messages is that there's a lack of consensus among primary care physicians about how to manage this ethical dilemma. Inconsistency in and of itself works against coordination and continuity of care, because when a healthcare provider sees a chart, they don't necessarily know how to interpret the information that's in there. Is information that's not in there because it's not applicable, or is it excluded or masked in some way? This inconsistency also affects research based on medical record data. Mental health care providers have been studied, and they have been shown to use exclusion, restricting access, or neutralizing information. But for primary care providers, what we're seeing is that they're using the full continuum of options and that they're using it differently depending on type of information. So there's a need for a consensus-based process in order to come to some kind of dependable and way that people can anticipate what they find in the chart, a way that includes relevant information but also protects patient confidentiality. PCPs could also benefit from models for effectively explaining inclusion of sensitive information to patients. As I said, this was a very robust qualitative sample balanced across gender and years of experience. Yet, all the physicians were from Massachusetts, and the sample wasn't large from a survey point of view. So now that we know the four strategies that PCPs are using, the next step is to do a survey of PCPs that's broader, more generalizable across the country, so that we can identify more specific and more generalizable rates of the four strategies, and also perhaps explore whether there are associated factors that matter in terms of different subgroups using strategies more often or less often. So, for example, does practice setting or practice culture matter for when strategies are and aren't used? So this information would then be used to inform a consensus process that would enhance the clarity of interpretation of medical record information. Thank you.